Igor, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great. What's
I'm
your
not a winemaker anymore. Hey, guys, I'm just to get, I'm not a winemaker anymore.
No?
I'm
what happened?
I spend like a, I'm a wine drinker.
Yeah, we're all that.
I spend more time like at the rink, so watching the different type of hockey, like youth hockey, NHL, AHL, international hockey. So I've been there. And I also like train a couple of players here, and I also help to train team here in Michigan.
Fantastic. It's been suggested that if those two teams from Lake Placid played 10 more games, the Americans probably wouldn't come within 3 or 4 goals in any one of those games. Do you agree with that assessment?
No doubt that 35 years ago, you guys still talk about that. I mean, you guys Canadians, so but Americans still talk about that upset of the Lake Placid. And obviously, I mentioned many, many times, so that the Russian Soviet team that time was one of the best ever assembled to play and that event. So it was kind of, if you look back and you look at the roster and the lineup, it's crazy talented like a team, you know. And it's to play against Team USA, which is like students. And obviously, there's like a not even close. You can imagine it's going to be upset. But it happened, you know. So
I don't know whether it was a week before or 2 weeks before, there was an exhibition game played at Madison Square Garden between the same two teams. And and the Soviet team won by a landslide.
10-3, yeah.
10-3, comfortably, cruise control. Pretty much exactly what you would have expected to happen.
Right.
So what was in your opinion, what was the fundamental difference on that night at Lake Placid?
You know what, I guess maybe like maybe timing and kind of like if you can go back like 2 months before prior Olympics, the Soviet team play like a 3-game series in Challenge Cup against NHL mm-hmm. All-Star. And then in game 3, I believe it was Madison Square Garden, was 6-0 for the Russians. And that's you playing against like an all-star NHL team.
Yeah.
And then you go to Lake Placid, and then you play an exhibition game against unknown players, like from USA colleges, and you just like was like you guys saying, like not even close, not even matchup. Like it was 10-3. It was easy when you're watching highlights and you're watching like a little video from that game. It's not even funny, like how like superior the Russian team was, you know.
Do you believe, you know, in your mind, do you believe that on that day at Lake Placid, there was absolutely no reason for the Soviet team to believe that this was even going to be a contest?
You know what? Even like you know, I agree with what you're saying, and like you know, also like my thoughts would be the same. But at the same time, even like they more like if you're looking back and looking in the first period when the Tretiak was pulled after the second goal was like 40 minutes to play, mm-hmm. that's telling you like in terms of like maybe panicking by the coach,
yeah.
But at the same time, show no respect. So you know, we have a backup goalie. Because he's gonna go out and the team gonna score like a 6-7 goals in the second third period, so that kind of like was a little bit of a like thin line when the kind of mistake has been made, you know. So and kind of like turned the game around and gave some tremendous amount of confidence to Team USA on that game, you know.
Igor, how would you define the relationship of you and your teammates with Viktor Tikhonov?
Well, you know what you know, it's hard to, you know, I mean, it's hard to make any comments now. The Viktor Tikhonov just passed away 2 months mm-hmm. ago. So
yeah.
You can't really say anything bad or like looking bad. So, well, once again, I said like with the Russian media when it happened and there was the funerals in Moscow, I said, you know, we had a good moment, we had bad moments, but now it's in the past. So like I just want to move on and you know, not to talk about that too much, you know.
So the other part of this is people realize most of the core of your team went on to win the Canada Cup in 1981. You won another gold medal in 1984, and you won in Calgary in 1988 at the Olympics. So it wasn't as if that this was the end of your era, was it?
Right. That was the end. Yeah. That's what we at 88. So Slavia Tisov was 20. actually was 30 years old. Makarov was 30 years old. Krutov and myself were like 28. And Kasatonov was 29. So it's kind of like a last big event for us. And if you look back again to dismantle of the team in Lake Placid, so it could happen to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys were kind of like slowly but surely, like Petrov, Mikhailov, and Vasiliev, and Valderis, and those guys, Kalimov, were kind of like left in the dark. So when they lost Olympics, and the new generation of players coming up, and we won that 88 Calgary, so and we expect to be happen the same to us. So that's why we kind of we start to revolt and against the system to avoid same kind of like a story what happened to the like the previous guys, previous generation of players.
Right.
So and we kind of like play ahead and start to like fight for the rights to give us a chance, last chance to play National Hockey League and go play abroad, you know, from Russia.
With Hall of Famer Igor Larionov, you were 19 years old when the Miracle on Ice took place. You were back home in the Soviet Union then.
Right, right.
Did you watch the game on television? Was it televised back home? I would assume it was. It was the Olympics.
You know what? We had a long break because of that Olympics in Lake Placid. So and the Russian league was shut down. And meantime, so like there's two tournaments were taking place. Two tournaments for the Russian league.
Yes,
kind of like an exhibition tournament. So, and we played like in Ukraine, actually. You know what? In Kiev, and I was going like in the morning, like the next day. Actually, was you know because of like, time change, 8 hours, and I was actually getting in line like in the breakfast in the dining room to get some like food, and somebody said like. Soviet Union lost to Americans 4-3. I couldn't believe it because they show a game like a replay at the same night at 7 o'clock because it's prime time.
Right.
That time it didn't happen in the internet. Nobody, like you know, only like maybe Voice of America or BBC, like a Russian speaking, like a jamming radio stations, you can hear that. But you know what? I couldn't believe it. Like we lost 4-3. I said, no way. I think you know they're going to play tonight, so they're going to show the game tonight on national television. And I said, I got to watch that before I'm going to, like, believe what's going to happen. And I watched the whole game. And I watched, like, first period. I watched second period. It was 3-2 for Russians. And then and I couldn't believe it would happen. Like, we lost 4-3. And that was, like, a shocker to everybody.
We have this perception of what the time was like in the then Soviet Union. And there's a perception, and I think you would identify with this, among North Americans that... that there would be serious potential ramifications for a defeat like this. It was more than just a hockey defeat. It was almost a cultural defeat for the Soviet Union. You know, is that accurate? Are we misrepresenting it? Life went on, but were the players? I don't know what the right word is, Igor. Afraid of the reaction?
You're talking about wars, but I think it still is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about like a Sochi Olympics, like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a year ago. Like you're not talking about 35 years ago. You're talking about just a year ago. Same thing. You know, Russia, USA. It's more than a game. It's more than sports.
Right.
More than hockey.
Yeah.
It's more like politics. You know, it always has been, and it still like is, and. I think it's going to be until like we're going to have some final like peaceful solution. Like we have to move forward as the two nations move forward for democracy and communicate. So, but you know what happened now? It's still the same kind of situation 35 years ago, and it's like 35 years ago when you lose to in American soil to the USA team, and then plus you got the troops in Afghanistan,
right.
And it was like kind of like a situation was like really, really like tense. So that was like a huge blow for the politics, for like for the direction the Soviet Union was going. So it was like a huge, huge blow for the for the country like Soviet Union that time.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
You talk about Sochi and hockey within Russia now. How would you define the quality of hockey within the country right now? And is it on its way back? Has the KHL helped it, or has the KHL hurt it because we don't see as many Russian players in the NHL?
You know what? It's nice to have a league. And obviously the players getting some jobs. But I guess to be accurate, so I think you guys should call like Mike Keenan,
yeah,
or Dave King. So those two Canadian coaches working extremely well in KHL right now. But I guess to me, obviously, I would like the game grow. I would like the game to be more like fun to watch, and for the players to get in some jobs and to play good hockey games, and so bring some people and develop the game around the globe. So I think it's good. So a lot of things we have to do better. So, but you know what? It's only been how many years now? 6 years, 7 years in the KHL, and they kind of are going through different some tough times, especially this year because of economy or I guess sanctions,
yeah,
against Russia. So, but you know what? It's great. Like today, like it's one thing. Tomorrow is going to be better. So, and hopefully, the KHL, keep growing and keep getting better.
Igor, there's a question I've been dying to ask you for a long, long time. You played in the Canada Cup in 1984, which was in Calgary and in Edmonton.
Right. Right.
There are stories, and they may be urban myth by now, because you know how stories grow, that you tried to defect during that tournament. Any truth to that?
No. I just had I sneaked out like from the hotel around midnight.
Yeah,
we lost to Canada. Like I think it was like in the first overtime, I believe.
Right.
You guys should have helped me.
Paul Coffey scored.
You know what? I think it was Mike Boyce.
Oh, okay.
Mike grabbed the stick from Michigan. Our goalie.
Yeah.
Threw it in the corner. So there's got to be talent for that. So we lost the game. And after that, we were out, and we stayed overnight. And Wayne Gretzky invited me and to join his group, have a couple of beers. And I said, you know what? I'm not sure if I can do that, but we got some KGB guy with us. You have to sneak out when he goes to bed.
Uh-huh.
And midnight, I took one of my friends from the team, so. And we went to the club, and the guy was waiting for us. And we went to the club and spent the night there. I was with Leo Roberts, John Tonelli, and Mike Michel Goulet, and Wayne, and a few other guys. Actually, the whole team of Canada was there too. So, and then I came back to my room around 5 or 6 in the morning. Went back to Russia, and then after that, so I was kind of banned to travel for the whole year.
Wow. I was
allowed to travel with the team.
last question.
They were talking about, so I'm going to be defecting, so, but I had no intentions. Obviously, I like it very much, when you're 23, you see yourself, what life is all about, the hike and this and that, and I really, really very much like what I saw, and I fell in love with Canada and obviously the Canadian hockey and the NHL. So, but I didn't have a chance because my mom and dad, my family were back home. So, I thought maybe 3 or 4 times, should I do that or not? But I decided, no.
Mm. Well, I think most people, hockey players or otherwise, would have a hard time turning down a chance to have a beer with Wayne Gretzky. So we forgive you that slight indiscretion. Last question. Here you are ensconced in North America. U.S. plays Russia in a hockey game. Who you cheer for?
U.S. Russia or U.S. Canada?
No, U.S. Russia.
Obviously for Russia.
Still?
Why U.S.?
I just wondered. I mean, I'm always intrigued by people who have lived in multiple countries. And whether your allegiance filters, I'm one of those.
Guys, it's to me I'm more international. So as an agent now, so I got a couple of American players, I got a couple of Canadian players,
right,
playing in KHL. I got a few Russians, I got a couple of Finns, and I just like happy to see the boys playing well. So obviously, when it's an international game, you know, I'm the Russian, and obviously, I like to my country to be the best. Obviously, you know, and no matter what happened in the past, but you know, that's still, you know, the different style of hockey, different game.
Sure.
In Russia, and obviously, you want to have a nice clash between the Canada or U.S. And that's what the game going to grow like when you have those games.
Perfectly natural.
Are you going to have any involvement with Russia with the World Cup, Igor?
No, I cannot be involved. Okay. So, because you know I'm
an agent,
conflict of interest. You know, so in any capacity. So I try to help my players, like who I represent. I train them too. So which is like that's where I'm going to be help to get them in top shape and to get them play in that tournament.